ghost stories online.
It's one thing to have experiences yourself and recount them, and others listen, and either they go, wow, that's interesting, or maybe they relate somehow, or maybe they're like, wow, I'm going to go talk to this person over here. That happens too. Not on this show, though. You're completely safe to share your stories here. In our next story, one person begins to recount their own bizarre experiences, including dreams that involve a friend. When they discover the friend has been having the exact same experiences as they are. Explainable? Not so much. Very unusual, paranormal? Yeah. As they wonder what is following them and is it good or evil? Take a listen. Before writing into your podcast, I'd been going through a bad haunting, I guess you'd call it. By the time I started listening, it had escalated. I've held off sharing this story because I didn't want to think about it. It's because of this haunting I wound up finding your podcast. It started about a year ago with slight tapping sounds, which I only noticed when I was quiet. For weeks, I thought it was the house settling and or animals in the walls. About 2 months, I started to wonder about it. Every time it happened, I'd feel intimidated and scared. This isn't like me. Still, I put it down to rational explanations. At that time, I guess I noticed it 3 times a week. In 2014, early around August, I was home alone one night and noticed the tapping again, very, very faintly though. I felt scared as soon as I noticed it. This tapping sounded like someone was lightly tapping the kitchen bench top with one finger, and this matched the sound's direction. It occurred every 10 or so seconds. It reminded me of that old torture method where slow, steady drips of water are dripped onto a victim's forehead, an extreme comparison to draw, but I kept thinking of this. As I listened, it moved to other surfaces in the kitchen, like the microwave, a cupboard, the sink, and another part of the bench. It also gained in volume a few times, then quieted down again, almost as if to recharge its energy. At least that's the context I placed on the velocity variations. I stood there listening for about 20 minutes, probably a stupid thing to do in hindsight. I later tapped on surfaces to match the sounds that I'd heard. This is the night I told my husband. Before this, I didn't want to believe something negative was happening and kept brushing it off. We're both spiritual and have a free-flowing dialogue about ghost topics. With hindsight, I'm open to the possibility this presence was isolating me, encouraging me to tell no one. I regret not speaking up sooner. My husband said he'd never heard any tapping noises. This concerned me, as now it felt somehow personal. As we were talking about this in the lounge, 2 loud knocks came from the kitchen. We checked the kitchen and found nothing out of place. This really scared me. Apart from those 2 loud knocks in the kitchen on that night, which was last year, my husband hasn't heard any more tappings or knockings. After that night, I noticed it every single day, but only when I was alone. Sometimes it was loud knocks on a wall or surface, other times it was slight tapping, but always in the same room that I'm in. But since then, whenever the tapping starts, a fatigue comes over me. I'm not really tired. As if I don't want to deal with this and react by wanting to sleep. This isn't like me either. We cleanse and protect our home ourselves regularly, and always have done so, yet this could still get some things to come through at times. However, I believe without any protective barrier, this would be a lot worse. Sometimes I call my husband into any room I'm in when there's taps or bangs so that he can confirm I'm not hearing things. But as soon as he gets within earshot, it stops. Very frustrating. As months went on, I got more and more relentless. Bouts of fatigue became more severe. We play it by ear over Christmas, visit some family separately, then meet up around New Year's. Last couple of years, we spent New Year's in California, and we're doing the same this year. My husband's family are made up of roughly 50-50 English and American. Over Christmas, I stayed at my mom's in Australia. Stupid tapping, knocks, and bangs started up there. Much to my shock, I really started to question my sanity at this point. Told Mom about it. She's open-minded. Mom said she'd keep her ears peeled. Then, just like when I told her my hubby about it, my mom and I heard two loud knocks coming from another room right when we were discussing it. Apart from when I told my husband and Mom about it, the taps and knocks seem to always be in the same room that I'm in. I keep an open mind, regardless of my fear, that perhaps this was someone or something who wanted my attention for well-intended reasons and was expressing frustration. That possibility diminished when my beloved cat became frail and later passed. I call him my cat, but he was really Mom's cat. The cat I had a special bond, and we were best buddies. I always asked Mom how he was, just like I would a person. He was very old, between 17 to 20. Mom got the cat as an adult cat. I was never sure of his exact age. The cat was a best friend and a big part of my life for 15 years. I love him and I miss him. Before he died, he survived pneumonia, made a full recovery, much to the vet's shock. When treating him for pneumonia, we were prepared for the worst. I spent every speck of spare time taking care of him. When it was just me and my sick cat in the house, the knocking was at its peak. I felt it was taunting me, and I still can't believe how much it dragged me down. Every day during that time, I cried for the impending loss of my cat. The knocking was so relentless, I questioned my own sanity. There's no doubt that it fed off what I was already feeling. I told it to fuck off many times, and it quieted down when I spoke without fear. I learned fearlessness was the key to overcome this. Because of my love for the cat this year, I stayed at my mom's over New Year's. One evening, with just me and my recovering cat, I was kneeling down, giving him some water with an oral syringe to keep up his fluids. Behind me, I heard footsteps approaching. They stopped directly behind me, and I felt a foot tapping heavily and slowly. It felt threatening, not like an impatient foot tap. My cat started cowering. I waved my arms in the direction of the foot tap and said something vulgar to it. This worked. My cat calmed down and the house was quiet for the rest of the night. Protecting my cat overcame my fearful inhibitions. I may have normally about this presence. I don't believe that this negativity, whatever it is, had anything to do with my cat. But I am so angry at it for screwing with the bit of precious time we had together in this realm. After this, I asked my guardian for help and soon could feel his presence around Mom's place. Nothing else negative had happened while I was there. My cat recovered rather miraculously, gained strength, energy, and lived happily for a further 3 weeks. He slipped away peacefully in his sleep. That cat always astounded vets. He did this right up to the end. I'm so proud of him. After returning home from the tapping, banging, and knocks, they all started back up. But now there was a new form of annoyance, which I must admit makes me laugh because it's so completely cliche. You ready for this? Bed shaking. I can't believe it. So lame. Nonetheless, if I go to bed before my husband sometimes, the bed shakes. Things in the bedroom are tapped. I can hear the wardrobe door moving back and forth. It makes very distinct noises. Every time this happens, like with the knocking and tapping and banging, I feel fatigued. It's a different kind of fatigue to pleasantly sleep. It feels like I could just sleep from exhaustion. Again, this is not like me. I always meditate before going to sleep. All this activity makes it very difficult. By now, I'd found this website and learned the importance of keeping a journal. The next few paragraphs contained entries from the particularly bad days of my journal entries. I've elaborated in brackets here and there for context. We'll start out with March 19th, the early evening. I was alone. It was quiet. The tapping started. Seconds after, I heard a male voice behind me. It sounded like it was trying to speak, but had trouble being heard. It sounded like a loud whisper, spoke with long, drawn-out syllables. I felt threatened. It said, I
going to.
I interrupted by saying, fuck off. It stopped, and so did the fatigue. The timing of my reaction amused me, and I felt rather smug I had completed its sentence with my own desire for it to leave. The voice had an American accent. Then, on March 22nd, late in the evening, when I walked into the studio, studio door is usually kept shut. When I opened the door, the room smelled like death, a terrible decaying smell. This isn't good. Went outside to test smell, and no smell outside. Came back in, smell was still in the studio. I kept an open mind. Could have been something in the walls, I guess. On Saturday, the day before, we had a party and didn't go to bed till around 5:30 a.m. We were both pretty tired, and hubby went to bed early on Sunday. I wanted to as well, but because of the strange male voice I'd heard a couple days before, I stayed up a little later to research more on cleansing. Don't know if this thing knew what I was about to do or if it's coincidence. Bearing in mind I was already tired and the studio is soundproofed. I was reading for half an hour and putting up with awful smells. I started feeling the most fatigued I'd ever felt, with the exception of the flu or something. I was fighting sleep with my eyes closing while reading. Then the knocking started. This time it was very loud and aggressive, without many pauses in between. A strange whooshing sound started and grew louder. I put headphones on and drowned it out. Then it knocked on the studio door, which was open, and beside where I was. This scared me so bad. Stopped reading, did a quick cleansing, protected the house and self. The whooshing left. Knocking stopped, felt less fatigued, and the smell disappeared. Went to bed. I don't know what the whooshing was. I was so tired. I wonder if I imagined it. Then in late March, finally, did Rook's cleaning method with a few variations. Used dark blue candle and vampire blood incense. Silly name, but I like using it for cleansing purposes, and this really worked. I put off using Rook's method for a while because I don't like sunlight or any bright light. I certainly keep up Brooks' cleansing method periodically, but won't change my default low-light ways, except during cleansing. Sometimes I get visions, like premonitions in the form of dreams. A few days before I told my husband about the tapping last year, I had a dream about a good acquaintance of ours. I'll call him T. I'm used to getting visions and had a gut feeling the tapping was connected to T because of the dream, but still kept an open mind that the dream was unrelated. Shortly after this dream, I had another different dream which my gut told me was connected to the first one. Quick summary on T. He's a middle-aged father. He's American, from Texas originally. He's the sort of person that always sees the funny side of things. With all that had happened, I decided to trust the dreams. I opened up to some friends about the knocking and the voice and all that has happened so far, except the dreams. I intentionally did this in a group setting when T was present. Despite his social graces and humor, he's a very private person, as I am. I've known him for years and always shared a laugh with him, but we've never been that close. The thought of dumping paranormal stuff on him seemed like a dead-end idea. Everyone started telling ghost stories afterwards. T pulled me aside and we went outside for a cigarette. He gave me the go-ahead to share what he had told me. He said he'd experienced something very similar back in 2001, long before we met. It happened where he was living in Texas. He described the same knocks and bangs, soft tapping, the fear associated with those sounds, the unexpected extreme figure, the voice and everything happening whenever he was alone. We spoke at length about the voice. It sounds like the same voice, if not one very similar. T heard it say, "I'm going to make you pay," which might have been what the voice I heard was going to say before I cut it off. T didn't tell his wife about anything until he heard the voice. She thought he'd been working too hard and put it down to stress. He heard the voice a second time saying the same thing, but the second time it also said some, sounds. He told me about all these horrible times alone in his house with the banging, fatigue. It all sounded very similar, except for one thing. Eventually the banging started coming from T in his wife's bedroom. Not the same room he'd be in. Again, this only happened when he was alone. When it came from the bedroom, he wasn't fatigued. Because of one of the dreams I'd had, I wasn't completely shocked by what he told me next, but I was shocked by his candor and openness to the paranormal. One evening, while alone with banging coming from their bedroom, he made himself fight the fear, his words, and go into the bedroom. Soon as he turned the light on, he saw a head, severed, pounding against the wall. He only glimpsed at it because he turned and ran outside, but he's sure what it was. I told him about the dreams I'd had and confessed about manipulating the group conversation to gauge his reaction. We had a good old natter about ghost stories after that. Turns out T's really open-minded, which I never knew. After this, I thought there was no way I was going to get any banging head activity. Well, I was wrong. Within about a week or so, I did hear some banging coming from our bedroom. My husband wasn't home at the time. There was no way I was going up to investigate. By now, I'd got some dragon blood incense and used that for the deep cleanse, which is what my husband and I call Rook's method. We hadn't done a deep cleanse in a few weeks, and it was nighttime when the banging started. I lit some dragon's blood and placed it on the stairs near our bedroom. This did the trick. Within a few minutes, the banging stopped. Needless to say, we started another deep cleanse the next day. Since then, there's been more banging from our room, but only during that time, we're due for another deep cleanse, which always rids it away. I forgot to enter this into my journal, so I don't know the exact date. It was after the banging, and the bedroom started happening. I was alone, of course, and it was daylight outside. I was in the lounge room listening to music. In this moment, I was concentrating on some of the technical aspects of a song. When I do this, I'm zoned out to the rest of the world, full attention on the song. The sun beams through the windows in the afternoon, and I'd close the curtain because of this. There's a silhouette of some geranium outside on the curtain. I'm zoned out, listening away. Then some, I notice a silhouette of a head outside, but it's floating and suspended in midair. I watched it, but my attention was still on the music. Still, in my zone, I thought something like, that's not a bird. That looks like a head. And it's not an intruder. It's not attached to anything. And the geranium isn't moving. How strange. It was all very matter-of-fact, and I immediately forgot all about it. The strangest part is I didn't think of the banging head at all. Not until later that night when my husband did something that reminded me. And I had a huge aha moment. We had a good laugh about it because as far as scary, haunting attempts go, it was such a failure on all conceivable levels. Since then, there's been a few bangs here and there and a few bouts of mild fatigue. This always happens when it's a deep cleanse time, which tells me we need to deep cleanse more often than our current once a month, and for the time being at least. When I bumped into my guardian from another story, this is the direction he was looking from the window. The side of the house towards the lounge room. On that day, I had run out of the lounge to the front door. A couple questions that I have now. Why and how would a ghost single out two seemingly unrelated people over more than 10 years in very different locations? Should I be concerned? Will it return to him? Or is this someone or a standardized type haunting and really just separate ghosts pulling very similar stunts? T, Hubby, and I think it's the same ghost that harassed T years ago, but we can't find any logic to it. Maybe there isn't any to find.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcast right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.